In the Sunday school, we've been going through the book of Ephesians with Skip. And as Skip always tells us, please do some studying before you come to the class. And to be honest, I never really do it. But last week, I did some studying. And I was all prepared to share in Sunday school. And then the Michaels ruined my... my preparation time. So then I was fine, then I'll share this week, but then again the mic was ruined my preparation. So actually, what I'm going to do is, as I was looking into the book of Ephesians, I found some really precious thoughts about the Holy Spirit. So when Jonathan Peck got up to speak, I was like, wow, this is interesting what's going on here. But in the book of Ephesians, there are some mentions of the Holy Spirit, and that's what I want to go through with everybody today. Jonathan Peck put some questions up there. At the end, he put, are you living in the Spirit? Are you walking according to the Spirit? Are you being led by the Spirit? Are you grieving, or are you quenching the Holy Spirit? So, for 2 weeks in a row now, we'll be getting some teaching on the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not a topic speaker like Thomas. I like to have a passage to be able to work through it. And as we were going through Ephesians, I found some pretty neat things here that I'd like to look at with you all. So Ephesians is a small book, 6 chapters. It would probably take you 20 to 30 minutes to read through it. It's an amazing book. It's a book which opens up the mysteries, some mysteries that are revealed to the believers. But one thing that we've noticed in our Sunday school class, and Paul normally writes like this. For half of the book, generally when he writes to a church, half of it is doctrinal, and then the other half is practical. It's a good way to think of it when you read through Paul's letters to the churches that he wrote to. But a neat way to break up this book is the first 3 chapters we can consider the wealth of the believer, and if you like alliteration, they're all W's. Chapter 4 and 5, we're going to look at the walk. We can see the walk of the believer. And in chapter 6, we have the warfare of the believer. So you have those three ways there to break up the chapter. But this is what's cool. This is what's interesting. In each one of the chapters, Paul makes 2 mentions of the Holy Spirit. 2 mentions, not 3, not 1. He makes 2 mentions of the Holy Spirit in every single one of those chapters. So if you're good at math, you're going to know that there are 12 mentions of the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians. To me, this was new. Has anybody ever put your hand up if you've heard this before? Oh, good. Oh, good. Two times in each chapter, the Apostle Paul makes mention of the Holy Spirit. What I did when I was reading, when I was studying, I highlighted each one of those. So now in my Bible, when I read through the book of Ephesians, I'll see where there is many of the Holy Spirit in them. But it's pretty interesting. Paul had been to Ephesus. Well, we know that he went to Ephesus twice. The first time that we read about Paul going to Ephesus is in Acts chapter 18. And he was in Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. And as Paul normally did, he would go into the synagogue and he would reason with the Jews. That's what Acts 18 says. He reasoned with the Jews. And these people were marveled. Wow, this guy is bringing us some amazing things. And they say, Paul, please stay with us. You got to tell us more about it, more about this. Well, Paul says, no, sorry, guys. Verse 21 of chapter 18, he says, no, I can't. I have to go to Jerusalem to go to the feast. But in the will of the Lord, I'll come back. If the Lord will, I'll come back. Well, then, in chapter 19, this would be on his third missionary journey now, Paul does come back. Paul comes back to Ephesus, and I want us to turn to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 19, and we're going to see what happened to Paul when he got back into Ephesus. And I'll read a few verses for us here. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper borders, came to Ephesus, finding certain disciples. He said unto them, have ye received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Uh-oh. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. These disciples say to him. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Paul comes back. He says, have you guys been baptized by the Holy Spirit? Says, Who is that? So now you start to get an idea why Paul, when he writes to the Ephesian church, says, okay, they need to see some things. They need to be taught some things about the Holy Spirit. Apollos had come, I guess, in between the time that between his missionary journeys through Ephesus. Apollos had come, and he'd preached this baptism of John. Actually, Priscilla and Aquila, verse chapter 18 says, they took him in and they said, okay, we've got to expound the truth to you more. How does the verse go? Let me say it. Let me find it here. They took Apollos in, Priscilla and Aquila, and they expounded unto him, that is Apollos, the way of God more perfectly. He'd been preaching the baptism of John. So, in the book of Ephesians, in the letter of Ephesians, we have these golden nuggets about the Holy Spirit. These things that are taught, that he wanted the believers in Ephesus to learn, to know, to be aware of. And of course, we have it for us as well. So that's what we're going to be looking at. So there are 12. I have 30 minutes. I know that that's a lot. I'll try not to rush it, but if I have to stop somewhere, I'll just stop. And you can do the rest of this study in the way by yourself. But if I were to ask you what the book of Ephesians is about, you might say, well, it's the mystery, right? It's the mystery being revealed. It's the mystery being revealed that the Jew and the Gentile, they can now be one in Christ. And you wouldn't be wrong. But he has some thoughts here about the Holy Spirit that we're gonna focus in on. In Ephesians chapter 1, how many times is the Holy Spirit going to be mentioned in the first chapter? Twice. Very good, Tom. Twice. Here's the first one. Ephesians, we're going to read verse 12 and 13. I'm going to read them both together. And here it is. That we should be the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The first thing that Paul wants to get through to the Ephesians, that God wants to get through to us, is that we are sealed. We are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We are sealed. And when does that happen? When is the Christian sealed? It says it right there. After we have heard the word of truth and believe, we are sealed. After you hear it and you believe, you are by the word of truth. Sealing takes place at the moment of salvation. And every true believer, and I'm going to highlight true, every true believer, at the moment that he is saved, that he trusts, that he believes, God marks him as belonging to him. And how does he do that? He does that with the seal of the Holy Spirit. God marks him as belonging to him. We are now safe. We are now safe. The Christian, the believer, is now safe because he has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Our dog ran away about a year ago. It disappeared. Sarah and I were very happy about that. My children were not so happy about that. We ran around the neighborhood. We looked here. We looked there. Where is this thing? I don't care. But anyways, we better keep looking. Well, it showed up in the pound. So we had to go to the pound to pick it up. There, we didn't have a leash on it. That's how much we cared for it. We didn't have a leash on it. I guess you can tag dogs now. You can put a microchip in. Well, we felt bad. We better do that. We put a microchip in our dog. If that dog runs away again and ends up in the pound, they're going to look at that and they're going to read that little microchip, however it is that they do that, and they say, oh, that dog belongs to Josh and Sarah. We have been sealed by the Holy. We belong to God. Christ has paid the debt of the believer. He or she now belongs to God, and the Holy Spirit given as a seal. It's that rubber stamp. God says, you are mine. The Holy Spirit is the guarantee that we are going to be kept safe until our inheritance. That right there, brothers and sisters, friends, is eternal security. That right there is eternal security. And if you go to a church, or if you hear a preacher on the radio saying that it's possible that you can lose your salvation, you turn that radio off right there. You can walk out that door right there. That right there is eternal security. Amen for that. Amen for that. Then, the second mention in chapter 1, we find in the very next verse, in verse 14, it says, who is the earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? Who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory? He is the earnest of our inheritance. Earnest. Now that I'm reading from the old version here, right? Maybe yours says something else. Well, earnest. When I thought earnest, it's the pledge of God that he has promised to give us that which we will get in the future. I thought earnest, that's a word that you don't use very often. Earnest money, I guess maybe you've heard of earnest money, right? Earnest money it's used in real estate. It's the deposit that's made to the seller showing that, you know, that's going to be purchased. It's earnest money allows the buyer, I guess, additional time to go and seek financing. So I want to buy a house for $100,000. I don't have all the money. I go to Philip. I say, Philip, here's $5,000. Hold that house for me. I'm sure he'll figure something out. We go and that house is mine. No one can come in. In England, they have, I don't know if you have this word, gazump. Have anybody ever heard of the word? Maybe it's a British term. Have you ever heard of the word gazump, Philip? No. It's a British term then. You don't use it in the U.S. Gazump is when I agree to take a house for $100,000 and I go and I put my deposit down, and then Gary comes out and he says, well, actually, I'll pay $110,000 for that house. I've just been gazumped. And he goes, well, here's $7,000. Here's $7,000, and poor me, I'm done. That doesn't happen with God, does it? That does not happen. That does not happen. The Holy Spirit is the deposit, is the earnest that we're going to get that inheritance. That inheritance is ours. We have so many blessings in Christ right now, but we have so many more to look forward to. We have an inheritance that we can't even imagine. And the Holy Spirit is guaranteeing that that is going to be given to us, earnest. Now here's the difference between seal and earnest. The seal that we read in verse 13, it's that the Holy Spirit will guarantee that we will be kept safe until our inheritance. We're going to be kept safe. That's the seal. The earnest is the Holy Spirit guaranteeing that our inheritance is going to be kept safe for us. Now, that's not my thoughts. That's Brother Bill McDonald's thoughts. So if you've got a problem, you can ask him about that. But he's more intelligent, more spiritual than I am, so I thought that was worth repeating. The seal is the guarantee that we are going to be kept safe. Yeah. Him as being the earnest, the Holy Spirit as being our inheritance is going to be kept safe for us. So that's twice in chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Now, if you don't believe me, you go home, you read through chapter 1 and see if there's 3. If there is, you come and find me. I don't think you'll find it, though. Chapter 2. The first mention that we find here is in verse 18. Here, Paul is writing to the Ephesians, and he's telling them that the Jews and the Gentiles, they are one body in Christ. One body in Christ. And how is that? Well, let's read verse 17 and 18. After Anne came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to them who were near. Afar off, and to them who were near. I think you know who was making mention too. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit. We both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. First mention of the Holy Spirit in chapter 2. We both, Jew and Gentile alike, and My DNA test, whatever, yeah. And I'm actually 3% Jewish. I'm pretty proud of that. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was Jews or Gentile, because we are both made one. We have access by one Spirit to the Father. We both get to call Him Father. Amen for that. Jew or Gentile alike. We both have access by one Spirit. We come to God. I know that we come to God through the Son. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. But it's in the power and through the enabling of the Holy Spirit that we can do that. That we are made. We can come to Him. In the Old Testament economy, you know, it was only once a year that the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, right? The place of God's presence. But now we have access at any time, Jew or Gentile. We have access at any time, and we can come unto Him and call Him Father. Amazing. Really, really, really. And we can come to Him, and we can speak to Him, and we can bring our acts. If you were here on Wednesday, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, we can come to Him and bring all of that. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be able to come to the Father and give thanks and ask Him for things. It's a wonderful thing. And we do that through the power of the Spirit. Leah's at the age now where everything's cute. Oh, that puppy is so cute, Dad. Abby is so cute. And I never really understood girls very much, you know, like the whole cuteness thing. But anyways, I'm a guy. I'll throw worms on a electric fence. That's fun. I can understand that. But, you know, puppies and stuff like that. But anyways, she comes to me and says, Daddy, oh, Walter is so cute. And yes, I agree, Walter is so cute. But he's so cute that he wants to chew. He wants to talk so bad. He wants to talk so bad. And I thought, wow, that's true. He wants to be able to tell his mom, I'm hungry. He wants to be able to tell his dad, I got to change my diaper. You know, he wants to be able to tell that kid, that toy is mine. But he can't. He still can't communicate. He has to go through that whole process. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jew and Gentile alike, we can come to the Father. Amazing. And Paul wants the Ephesians there to see and to understand that. And even though, I mean, I've even heard grown adults say, well, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to come to God. It's the Holy Spirit is our helper. Is our helper in this time. I'll read this verse for you because I have it written down. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession. You know that verse. I'm sure you've heard it. For us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit Himself makes for us intercession. All right, and then I thought of Moses. God said, Moses, go over to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And if he doesn't let my people go, I'm going to do this, this, that, and that. Well, God, you know, I'm slow to speech. I'm not very eloquent. A slow tongue. God said, now go and I will be your mouth and tell you what you shall say. God has given us in this dispensation the Spirit to help us to communicate to Him. So that's the first one in chapter 2. The second one is found in verse 22. Let's read 21 and 22. But this section is, and I'll read what my Bible says, it's the church, a temple for the habitation of God through the Spirit. Verse 21 and 22, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are built together. Second mention of the Holy Spirit, chapter 2. We are built for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Paul continues to expound that this new way, the Jew and the Gentile, are now one in Christ. God's dwelling place in the Old Testament, like we saw earlier, was the temple, when before that it was the tabernacle, and the Gentile had zero access to it. He couldn't get close. He didn't have that privilege. But now, through the Spirit, Jew and Gentile alike are built a habitation. Maybe your Bible says a dwelling place. The purpose of the temple, of the tabernacle, was to provide a place where God could live in fellowship with His people. Well, in the new economy, where we live, God indwells in the believer. What? Mind-boggling. Imagine the Ephesians. What do you mean? I don't have to go to the temple anymore? No. He indwells in you. The Holy Spirit has made that habitation of God in you. I mean, it's amazing. Amazing. I'm sure they were just, the Ephesians were there scratching their heads, saying, well, we don't have to come to the temple then. God is in us? And Paul just says simply, yes. That is straight up doctrine right there for you. Remember, we're in the section of the book where it's doctrine. Many people today still believe they have to go to some building to speak to their higher being, don't they? I mean, who knows? Maybe the Catholics think they got to make a pilgrimage to the Vatican because the Pope is there. Or the Muslims need to take a pilgrimage to Mecca and Medina because their God is there. Or the Buddhists, I don't know where the Buddhists have to go. Or the Mormons have to go to Salt Lake City. I don't know. I don't know. But Paul is telling the Ephesians here, God, the Spirit has made you a habitation for God. Amazing, amazing. So that's twice in chapter 2. Now let's go on to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 5. Now Paul's going to get into the mystery here of the hidden, the mystery that has been hidden from ages past of the church. And in verse 5, I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 5. For this cause I, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me toward you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote before, as I wrote in few words, by which when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and is now revealed unto his holy apostles, unto his apostles and prophets, by who? By the Spirit. So what else does the Spirit do? The Spirit reveals. The Spirit reveals. What was he revealing? That the Gentile and the Jew were now fellow heirs of the same bodies and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Holy Spirit reveals. And he still does that today. He still does that today. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 19. Verse 2 to chapter 2, verse 9. This is going to explain it more better than I could. We're talking about the Holy Spirit as revealing things, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us from God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are not spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself judgeth no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'll read verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is of God, that we might know the things that are given to us. The Holy Spirit is the revealer. And Paul wants the people of Ephesus to see that. He is the revealer. He revealed some of these mysteries to certain men, the apostles and the prophets, as it says here, and they were to listen. It's the word of God. You are to listen. The believer's eyes have been opened. And now you can clearly see the mystery of Christ and the church. You try, I don't know if you've ever tried, but you try and teach something spiritual to someone who is not a believer, they're going to struggle, aren't they? They're going to struggle. We love to sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was what? Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. The Spirit of God reveals things of God to us. And He's given to us. He was given. And the second time in verse 13, in chapter 3, sorry, in chapter 3 is found in verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. And it's that right there. Strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit gives us strength. Gives us strength. The day-to-day walk of a person who really wants to live for Christ is not an easy one. Ask the Michaels. They've been 40 years in Colombia. They'll probably tell you it wasn't easy. But the Holy Spirit gives. Paul's telling them, He's here to give you strength. Paul said in verse 13, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. Previously he says that. I desire that you faint not at my tribulations, for it's not going to be easy. The Lord Jesus said it himself, right? In this world you will have troubles. But what? Take heart. I've overcome the world. You're going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles. Put yourself in the shoes of Stephen when he was there preaching to the people, when he was there telling the religious leaders of that time the error of their ways, how they had crucified Christ. They were not happy to hear that. The Bible says they gnashed their teeth and then they got upset. But it says the Spirit of God came upon him. It strengthened him somehow. It strengthened him to be able to get through that situation. So whether you're being persecuted, whether you're being bullied, whether you're being ridiculed, I know most of the people in here are now older, but you know, we have kids who are in elementary school and high school and you know, if you're going to put your head down to pray before you eat, you might get laughed at. But, you know, the Spirit is there. He's given to us, to the believer, to give us strength to be able to carry on. God did not only send a comforter, He also sent us one who gives us strength to be able to carry on. So there you go. In the doctrinal section of Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, we have two mentions of the Holy Spirit. Mentions each of the Holy Spirit, and that's six. I have six more to go through, and I'm not going to do it. So what I want you to do, I'll end early today. Maybe I'll pick this up next time I'm given the opportunity. Is read through Ephesians, read through the next three, and highlight there where you see the Holy Spirit mean. Because there's things that He wants to teach us, that Paul wanted to teach the Ephesians. So I'll leave it here. We'll close in prayer. Thank you for coming. Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you that we have these promises that are given to us, and that we have been sealed by your Spirit, and that nothing can separate us from you now, Father. We thank you that we have an inheritance to look forward to, and that earnest that is given in the Holy Spirit is that it is something wonderful to look forward to, and we thank that that is there waiting for us. Father, there is so much that we have to thank you for. We thank you for giving us your Spirit, that Comforter. We know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is today seated at your right hand up there in the heavens. But he left, but he sent to us the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that he is here amongst us, that he has made us one in Christ, Jew or Gentile. We are grateful for that we have this bond, the Holy Spirit. So we thank you again, Father, for our time together. In Jesus' name.